The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his chosen from the four winds, then the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. Invite you to be seated. So we begin the new church year today, as I've said, with Advent, and it's, I know, a favorite church season for many people, including moi. Advent, let's rise to the surface our dissatisfaction with evil and with sin, our own sin, and complacency. We're given images, beginning even a couple of weeks ago, of the end of time, that day, when God will rule fully and completely. And so we experience the tension between what's happening now in the world and in us, and the then. That time, when justice and mercy will triumph over hatred and evil, that time when Christ will come again, and we picture enemies lying down together in peace, as we'll hear next week with the imagery of the wolf and lamb. But lest we fall into the trap of seeing evil only out there, Advent texts remind us that everybody is held accountable in the end, including us and our own self-centeredness and blindness. However, we already know in Christ's death and resurrection what the verdict will be on the last day: guilty and forgiven, which is how the Christian lives out each day until the last. That is, we live trusting that goodness and justice and mercy are really what count in life, and that they will triumph even when it appears that hatred and cheating and lying are winning the day. The Christian lives out each day trusting that when we fall short of being on the right side, that God will continue to forgive us. That's the promise that God made to each of us in our baptism, which was into Christ's death and resurrection. So in Advent, the accent is on hope and expectation, our anticipation for Christ to come again and for sin and evil to be gone forever. That's what Jesus coming as a master returning to the house at a surprise time is all about. It's not a scared straight image, it's a surprised by joy image. We're to look forward with hope and joy to Jesus coming again. So alive to hope and joy that we can't even fall asleep. Like children waiting for Santa Claus, who can't sleep for very long and get the whole house up at the crack of dawn. In the text, The Greek word for keep awake is the same for how shepherds are to watch their flocks by night while they sleep with one eye open. When Mark wrote these words, after Jerusalem and the temple fell, his congregation was devastated by the effect of that war, by the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem and the Israelites in the brutal attack by the Roman Empire. And so as they looked around at a dark and desolate future, Jesus' words gave them hope. Brutality and smoldering ruins wouldn't be the final word. God's rule would be, which is also God's promise if you go back to the first reading in Isaiah, to Isaiah's people. No matter what life looks like around you, they were also a people who were very disappointed and scrambling to get back on their feet after war. No matter what life looks like around you, no matter what evil you see, and what suffering you see, and what brutality you see in the world, it will not escape a final day when God will hold all accountable. And nothing will also escape God's mercy, which is God's favorite thing to do. So what does that mean for us here today? I mean, I think that I could probably say certainly some among us have seen war and destruction or cruel violence. My uncle, who's in his 90s, still wakes up with nightmares about being a 15-year-old boy in a Russian concentration camp. But even far less trauma and stress can make us anticipate and look forward to Jesus' final advent. The terrifying powers of natural disasters that we've experienced not only this year, but it seems somehow like it's been more this year. The wrenching impact of terrorism and mass public shootings and the widening division between citizens and neighbors among us. All a bit on the traumatic side. But we don't have to fall asleep in fear. In this parable, I think that falling asleep is an image. Falling asleep means living with a sense of fear and foreboding and dread and despair, being swallowed up by the dark and evil and sin. No, Jesus says, keep awake. Keep awake to the joy and to the hope that will come. Expect me to come and bring in God's final rule and reality for all creation. What happens if we fall asleep? I think that those who hear these words of Jesus as a warning to wake up or get scared straight think that if you fall asleep that God rejects you somehow, that you've done the wrong thing and you get punished. But who wasn't asleep when Jesus was crucified? And what Christian doesn't spend part of life and part of each day asleep to God's goodness and justice and mercy? And who would want to wake up on that day to the final reality and find out that what you've spent your time and energy and life on is futile? Jesus, as the master coming home and surprising us with joy. It's actually not really a surprise because Jesus' first advent also ran opposite to expectation. We expected God to come in power, and God came in vulnerability, in a manger and on a cross as a criminal. We expected God to come in glory, but he came and ate and gathered the poor and the outcast and the immoral. Jesus comes now through the word and through the sacraments to forgive us for not being awake in life, nor alert to what's really important around us. I don't have to tell you that the truth is that life is fragile and surprising. We don't even know how today will end for us or for our area or for the world. But during Advent, we're reminded of how the end will end. See, goodness and mercy and light will win at an unexpected hour, will be stolen from the jaws of death and darkness and brought into the light of the one whose very being scatters the darkness, the one whose light illumines us even now as we gather in his name. That's why hope and yearning and anticipation and joy rise to the top in Advent, because the darkness out there and in here will end. And we see Christ's light even now. See, I don't know why Advent isn't everybody's favorite season. Amen.